Well, there is no debating who the greatest head coach in Redskins slash Washington football team slash Commanders history is. That person is Joe Gibbs. But there's also no debating who the second greatest head coach in franchise history is, George Allen. George Allen was the Skins head coach and general manager from January 1971 to January 1978. The Skins, over their seven seasons in being led by him, had a regular season winning percentage of .691 and never having a losing regular season record under him, and made the playoffs in five of the seven seasons. Although Allen's playoff record with the Skins was just 2-5, with both of the postseason wins coming in the Skins' 1972 NFC Championship season. George Allen died on December 31st, 1990, at the age of 72. He was a fascinating person who ran the Skins in a fascinating way. I'm very pleased to welcome to the Al Galdi podcast Redskins historian Mike Richman, who is the author of multiple books about the Skins, including a new book, George Allen, A Football Life. The book is available for pre-order on Amazon. You could also order the book and find out more about the book by going to MikeRichmanJournalist.com. And you can follow Mike on X on Twitter at MSR_journalist. Mike, congrats on the book. Nice to talk to you. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much, Al. I appreciate so much you having me on, and I'm looking forward to the conversation with you. George Allen, as you say, yes, he was a very fascinating figure.
Yeah, I mean, you know a ton about Skins history. What did you learn about George Allen in doing your research for this book?
I would say it was like an elaboration on his eccentricities. Just the colorful nature of this man and how he went about making himself a great football coach, what he did to really dive into the game so detail-oriented, and, you know, he had to know everything about an opposing team, whether as an assistant coach or as a head coach. For instance, Ed Obradovich, the Bears defensive tackle on that famous 63 Bears championship team that Allen was the defensive coordinator of, he told me that when Allen became the defensive coordinator of that team, we got an encyclopedia with everything we needed to know about opposing teams. It's like everything we need to know in a typhoon or any type of condition, George Allen knew about the opposing team. So that is an example of how he went about understanding other teams, understanding their tendencies and everything. And as the saying goes, he would try to know an opponent better than they knew themselves.
George Allen, in running the Skins, is perhaps most famous for his approach of the future is now, the idea of constantly being in win-now mode, trading draft picks for veteran players, etc. Where did that philosophy of the future is now come from?
It was his focus on veteran players. That's what he focused on as the head coach in his 12 NFL seasons. He wanted players who were experienced and who wouldn't make those mental mistakes on the field. He just could not tolerate mistakes at all. And that's why he really didn't like younger players. He didn't like rookies, which actually I found to be a paradox, because when he was with the Bears, he was the head talent scout as well as the defensive coordinator. And he had some amazing draft picks. I mean, 61, he drafted Mike Ditka. 65, he drafted Butkus and Sayers. Ronnie Bull, NFL Rookie of the Year, 1962, running back. He had some amazing draft picks back then, so he had a nose for college talent. But when he got to the pros, and I asked Bruce Allen this, his son, I said, why is it? Why is there that distinction about him? And Bruce said it's because of that immediacy, win now, and when he became an NFL coach with the LA Rams in 66. And so that's, to answer your question, that is where that philosophy came from. The future is now, and that's how he coined that term when he came to the Redskins in 71.
By the way, in talking with Bruce Allen, did his time as Skins executive come up? Did what's happening with the Commanders now come up?
No, to be honest, we didn't. I didn't want to ask him anything about it. I didn't want to ask him about the current team or about anything that happened during the course of his presidency or executive role with the team. We just talked about his father. We had two wonderful 2-hour conversations and just talked about, you know, I had a list of questions lined up, you know, point, 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 you know, just went through everything, and he was great. But I didn't really want to touch on anything that happened when he was with the team, because fair or not fair, I mean, there was just so much controversy, and I didn't want to go there.
Understood. Hey, that could be a whole other book for you, Bruce Allen's time as Skins executive. It was George Allen who truly made the Skins rivalry with the Dallas Cowboys a thing. How and why did he do that?
That rivalry really started in the 1960s with the Sonny Jurgensen-led Redskins. There was a rivalry going on back then with the Redskins and Cowboys. They had some, you know, wild shootout games, high scoring. But it was when Allen came here in 1971, he elevated the intensity of that rivalry. And again, another question for Bruce. And he said it was because of Allen detested the way Tex Schramm and the Cowboys president, or one of their executives, and Roselle had this cozy relationship. Those two had worked together with the Los Angeles Rams in the 1950s, so they knew each other, Roselle being the NFL commissioner. So he thought that the Cowboys got favoritism. That's what he hated about the Cowboys. And he thinks that, for instance, in his first season, 1971, when the Redskins played their first three games, those were three NFC East games on the road. Now, that would be unthinkable today. I mean, that would just never happen. But sure enough, in 1971, the first three Redskins games that year were on the road, and they were three Redskins wins, by the way. So he thought that was a plot by the league and whatever, Tex Schramm maybe advising Roselle on it, whatever, that, you know, schedule it like that to, you know, try and throw him off course. But it didn't. But that, to answer your question, that is where that came from. That he elevated the intensity of that rivalry. He just could not stand them. He couldn't stand their just their stoic image either, you know, just the corporate-like image of the Cowboys. He didn't like that either.
What's interesting too is that, okay, George Allen became the Skins head coach and general manager in January 1971. It was in September 1971 that the Washington Senators played their final game as an MLB team of Washington, D.C. before becoming the Texas Rangers. The rise in popularity of the Skins in the 1970s coincided precisely with there being no MLB team in D.C., to say nothing of the Bullets being in Baltimore until the NBA's 1973-1974 season, and the Capitals not starting until the NHL's 1974-1975 season. Do you think that George Allen in the early 1970s saw a marketing opportunity to make the Skins the major force in DC sports?
Well, I don't think it was marketing as in, you know, physically going out and, it was, I think, sales-wise from what I understand. But yes, he was a great promoter. He absolutely had that knack about him. And the fact that the Senators moved out at that very time when he came here in 1971, and you didn't have the Bullets basketball team in Washington yet at that time. They were to move here several years later in 73 or 74. So he was the lone professional franchise here. Of course, there was no Washington Capitals either. He was the lone professional sports franchise. And the only really competitor was the University of Maryland basketball team, with Lefty Driesell saying that he was going to make Maryland the UCLA of the East. So, and George Allen took advantage of it every which way he could, whether it was the Cowboys rivalry or just pumping that up. But also understanding that he was the sole franchise in town, and then the fact that he was a winner. I mean, they won the first five games in 1971, and he took the town by storm. I mean, nothing really exemplifies that more than when they came back from Dallas after beating the Cowboys and going 3-0. They were met by 10,000 fans at Dulles Airport, and in those days, the fans could get onto the tarmac, which would be unthinkable today. But the fans made their way onto the tarmac, and the story I was told is that before the plane landed, they had to do some type of, the pilot had to understand where he'd be able to park the plane, because there were fans that had made their way onto the tarmac. But that's an example of what he just, you know, and also he came here at a time when the Redskins hadn't been to any kind of postseason play in a quarter century. So this town was just longing for a winner. And sure enough, he delivered.
Yes, he did. Much more with Mike Richman on George Allen in moments. I'm going to next ask Mike about perhaps the greatest Washington quarterback controversy ever, Sonny Jurgensen versus Billy Kilmer. How great would Sonny have been as an underdog fantasy play back in the day? Underdog fantasy, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. It is offering a limited time enhanced special offer to listeners of the Al Galdi podcast, a deposit match of up to $500 for all new customers who sign up with the promo code Galdi. My last name, G-A-L-D-I, Galdi. Check out underdogfantasy.com or download the Underdog Fantasy app. Underdog Fantasy offers pick'em games by which you can win up to 20 times on your money in one day and offers a pick'em insurance, which gives you a little wiggle room if you're not as confident in an entry. And when it comes to season-long fantasy, Underdog Fantasy offers a zero-stress scenario of no waivers, no trades, even no lineup setting. We all know that playing fantasy sports can be ultra-time-consuming. Well, Underdog Fantasy removes the time consumption but keeps the fun and the potential to win money. And take advantage of the free money if you sign up now with the promo code Galdi. My last name, G-A-L-D-I, Galdi. Underdog Fantasy will double your first deposit with up to $500 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of at least $10. So in other words, if you deposit $500, you get $500 for free. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Galdi. Check out underdogfantasy.com or download the Underdog Fantasy app and use the promo code Galdi. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and must be present in a state in which Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. And in Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. More now with Redskins historian Mike Richman, the author of multiple books about the Skins, including a new book, George Allen, A Football Life. The book is available for pre-order on Amazon. You can also order the book and find out more about the book by going to MikeRichmanJournalist.com. Another famous aspect of George Allen's tenure with the Skins, of course, was the quarterback controversy. The great quarterback debate, Sonny Jurgensen versus Billy Kilmer. Sonny versus Billy was perhaps the first true quarterback controversy for the team, certainly in a modern sense. What stands out to you when you think about Sonny versus Billy?
Well, first, number one, and they would say this today, both of them, that in their minds, it wasn't really a quarterback controversy. I mean, absolutely, they both wanted to play. I mean, they were both fierce competitors. I mean, particularly Kilmer, which is a major reason that his teammates rallied around him. They loved his pugnacity. They, you know, he went out there and they followed him. They thought he was a great leader. Sonny Jurgensen, I mean, he led with his skill. I mean, he was just an amazing passer. But in terms of a rivalry between the two, you know, they actually developed a really good friendship. Okay, so that, yeah, there was a rivalry. I like Billy. I like Sonny. The bumper stickers, that sort of stuff, and the fans fed in, you know, they bought into it, whatever. But between those two, I don't think they really considered it a rivalry. But where it became a rivalry is when Theismann came here in 1974. They couldn't stand Theismann. You know, Theismann, this brash guy coming out of the CFL, he wrote a book on quarterbacking before he played in his first NFL game. And so Kilmer Jurgensen didn't like that. They also didn't like Theismann saying, you know, hey, I'm going to do my best to get on the field as a rookie. And, you know, Kilmer Jurgensen, they banded together and they said, you know, that's not going to happen. He is not going to get on the field. We'll do everything we can. And that's actually one thing that strengthened the friendship between Kilmer and Jurgensen. They did not like Joe Theismann.
George Allen preferred Billy Kilmer over Sonny Jurgensen. Is it accurate to say that?
Yes, it is accurate to say that. And I'm glad you asked that, because it's going to lead into probably the most interesting thing I found out in the book. But yes, he preferred Kilmer over Jurgensen because Jurgensen would freelance out there. He wouldn't necessarily follow the play calling, which was a conservative type play calling, which Jurgensen didn't appreciate at all. So he liked Kilmer. Kilmer followed more of the game plan, and when he was more running oriented, because back in those days, the quarterbacks called their own plays. So Kilmer was more run oriented. He was more conservative, and Allen really appreciated that about him. And he loved that, you know, Kilmer was this fierce competitor, and he was a winner too. I mean, he had a very good winning percentage as a starter with the Redskins in the 1970s. But the most surprising thing that I found out in my research is that after the 1974 season, in January of 1975, the team president, Edward Bennett Williams, who controlled the daily operations of the team back then, he wrote a memo to George Allen, and he told him, you know, because Allen was a big spender with his veteran players, you know, he gave them really lucrative salaries. So one of the things Williams said was, you know, you got to get rid of some of these veterans who hardly play. But he also said that, hey, you need to decide between Kilmer and Jurgensen who you want on the team. Okay, one of those guys has to go. So I mentioned that because the story has been thrown around over the years that Allen unilaterally forced Jurgensen out, you know, because Jurgensen did retire at that point. But it really didn't work that way. Edward Bennett Williams wanted one of those guys out too. And the other thing that was very interesting about that memo is that Edward Bennett Williams really liked Theismann. He wanted Allen to elevate Theismann to a starting role at that point, which this would have been heading into the 75 season, which would have been Theismann's second year. So it didn't happen. Theismann didn't really play as a starter in 75. He really didn't get on the field until like 76, and he didn't even start for the whole season. So I even asked Theismann, you know, what do you think would have happened with your career if Allen had complied with that? And if you were a starter earlier in your career, would you have, you know, blossomed earlier as a quarterback? His answer was, you know, George Allen, his thing was if he could win a game 2-0, that's what he would prefer. He wouldn't care about what a quarterback could, you know, how many points a quarterback could produce on the field. He would want to win a game 2-0. That would make him happy.
As I said earlier, George Allen, in serving as Skins head coach and general manager, had nothing but winning regular seasons. Overall, regular season record of 67-30-1. That is remarkable. What led to his departure in January 1978? What has been reported as him having been fired by the Skins, although I know that there is some key context to that.
Well, it's an interpretation to actually use the word fired, and I'll explain. So Williams, Edward Bennett Williams, offered him a contract extension prior to the 1977 season. Allen did not sign it, okay? And as I explained in the book, one of the reasons could have been that there was no opportunity to buy a percentage. There was no stock option in the contract, which was sort of offered to Allen when he signed with the Redskins in 1971. Jack Hankook, according to the Washington Post, wrote to Allen or gave him a separate letter saying, yeah, you will have the opportunity at some point to buy into the team. Well, he never exercised that. So in 77, when Williams gave him a contract extension offer, Allen, there was no stock option in the contract. So Allen never signed anything. And the 77 season just dragged on. Meantime, the job with the Los Angeles Rams looked like it was going to become open. And sure enough, Chuck Knox, he left at the end of the season. He became the Buffalo Bills coach at that point. So that job was open. So Allen, and, you know, one of the theories I had, and I touched on this in the book, is that he wanted to go back to Los Angeles. He and his wife had a lovely home in Palos Verdes Estates, a swank L.A. suburb. They still had that home, and they wanted to go back to Los Angeles and live there. So he never signed that contract, and Williams just became impatient. He said, like in around the third week in January of 78, he said, forget it, you're gone. I mean, no more contract extension offer. So there was a contract extension offer, but Allen just, he didn't really sign it. So to define it as like a firing, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think it was just that Allen didn't sign the extension. He had the opportunity to.
And then the crazy postscript to George Allen's tenure with the Skins is then what happened with him and the Los Angeles Rams. He had that bizarre second stint as head coach of the Rams, a stint that lasted from February 1978 to August 1978. He was fired 2 games into the preseason for the team. What happened?
Well, Carol Rosenblum had him on a short leash from the very start. I mean, Rosenblum was making these remarks at the opening press conference. You know, if Allen doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, we'll have to reevaluate things. So, you know, they were kind of like, they were jokes in a way. But still, I think he was on a short leash. And so when training camp came around, first of all, some of those Rams players didn't want him there. Isaiah Robertson, the linebacker, Pat Hayden, quarterback, they didn't really want him there. And Robertson particularly, I mean, he was vehemently against the signing of Allen. So when training camp came around, Allen was like a militaristic coach, and the players didn't like that at all. Now, you got to think, this is 1978. This is 8 years removed from the last time he left L.A., and things were changing a little bit in the NFL. Things were evolving. The players, the money was starting to roll in a little bit, the contracts. So the players were gaining more of a voice. And it wasn't nearly what it was like today. But so the players had a voice. They didn't like him. They didn't like Allen. You know, he didn't want any trash left on the field. They didn't want that. They hated his no water policy. And one of the team doctors actually mentioned something to him. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, and I interviewed one of the Southern California reporters about this, Doug Krikorian. He was a Daily Beat reporter. He said, well, you think Vince Lombardi didn't have a no water policy, or other coaches didn't have a no water policy, but things were changing. And also, you've got to remember, this is in Southern California, summer temperatures. It was really hot out there. Who knows? I mean, so the players were envisioning, the doctor was envisioning something bad happened. So they lost their first two preseason games. There was very little offensive production. I mean, there was just no life on the team whatsoever. So Carol Rosenblum and his son, Steve Rosenblum, approached him after the second preseason game and said, sorry, George, just isn't working out.
George Allen's first stint as Rams head coach, January 1966 through the 1970 season, he had nothing but winning regular seasons with the Rams, but then was fired. What was the deal with that?
Again, it was another run-in with an owner. I mean, that was basically the key reason. He was fired twice, actually. He was fired after the 1968 season. And this was after his first 3 years were winning years, one of which was an 11-1-2 season, which was an amazing record. They beat that season, they beat Green Bay and Baltimore in the last two regular season games, both of which were league powerhouses at the time. But Dan Reeves didn't like him. I think there was a jealousy on the part of Reeves that Allen was getting all the attention. Again, Reeves didn't like the spending. I mean, Allen was bringing in all of these high-priced veteran players. Dan Reeves didn't like that. Reeves had control of the scouting. Allen had control of the rest of the personnel. So Reeves fired him after the 68 season. And this was actually one of the surreal moments in George Allen's coaching career. He staged a press conference. He called for a press conference at one of the ritzy Los Angeles hotels, and Allen spoke with sunglasses on to hide his tears. And I think they were real tears, by the way. And he had like 20 veteran Ram players show up and said, Merlin Olsen, Deacon Jones, Ed Metter, safety. They basically said, if Allen is not rehired, we're quitting. So Reeves rehired him like 2 weeks later. But Reeves said, you know, I didn't rehire him because of what the players said. I just, you know, brought it back. I thought, give George another chance. So 2 years later, he was kind of on a short leash after that rehiring. 2 years later, at the end of his five-year contract, Reeves fired him for the second time. But Jack Kent Cook, actually, he was the majority owner of the Redskins, who lived in L.A. and knew George Allen. He actually wanted to bring Allen to Washington after the 68 season for the first time. Otto Graham had been fired. So Jack Kent Cook wanted to bring him to Washington. Allen said, you know, he wanted to fulfill the entire 5 years of his Rams contract. So he stayed in L.A.
That's so interesting, because the Skins ended up hiring Vince Lombardi as head coach and general manager in February 1969, right?
They hired Vince Lombardi at that point. Exactly, yes.
Wow.
Vince Lombardi, 1969.
That is quite the what if to ponder. Final question. George Allen's playoff record with the Skins, just 2-5. Did Allen's teams being filled with older players make those teams vulnerable to fading late in seasons? Why was Allen's playoff record with the Skins just 2-5?
Oh, and I think there's a legitimate reason why that happened. And I explored this in the book, too. And that is, Allen's reliance on these veteran players so much. I mean, there were a few younger players that he brought in that were really good, but Mike Thomas, running back in 75, who was the NFC Rookie of the Year. But he just didn't really rely on draft picks that much. And so they were a good team after the 72 season, but they weren't like a great team. They were a, you know, good, very good team, but they weren't on par with like the Steelers or the Cowboys or even the Miami Dolphins for that matter. So, and I explored that in the book. I said, you know, look at the Steelers draft of 74. They drafted four future Hall of Famers. They signed Donnie Shell, who was as a free agent, who was another future Hall of Famer. Prior to that, they had drafted Mean Joe Green in 69 and Terry Bradshaw in 70. So they built through the draft. They were prepared for it. Allen wasn't really building the team like that. So they were good, but they weren't great. That is the answer to your question as to why they faded and then why they weren't able to compete with these other teams.
George Allen, so many layers to his football career. The book is George Allen, A Football Life. It is by Redskins historian Mike Richman. The book is available for pre-order on Amazon. You can also order the book and find out more about it by going to MikeRichmanJournalist.com. Mike, thank you, and best of luck with the book.
It was great to talk to you, Al, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, one thing that I think is safe to say about George Allen, the man appreciated a good shave. If only George was around to benefit from the excellent products of Manscaped. But you are around to benefit from the excellent products of Manscaped. And my friends at Manscaped have something new for you, the Handyman. The Handyman is the best electric shaver ever. Featuring a compact design and next-gen skin-safe technology, the Handyman is designed to give you that smooth finish without the mess of a traditional shave. And here's a special treat with no trick for this Halloween season. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code GALDI, my last name, G-A-L-D-I, GALDI, for 20% off plus free shipping. We've all dealt with bad razors that make your neck look like a horror movie. What's great about the Handyman is that its skin-safe technology helps to reduce nicks and cuts, so you can finally feel confident when going for that close shave. And if you are a beard guy, Manscaped has the Beard Hedger, which is a high-tech beard grooming piece of excellence that offers 20 different beard lengths in just one guard and has a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor. Whatever your shaving needs, Manscaped has you covered. Don't settle for mediocrity with your shaving. Get with Manscaped and take advantage of this special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code GALDI for 20% off plus free shipping. That's manscaped.com, promo code GALDI for 20% off plus free shipping.